I want you to take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew. Matthew, chapter number 11. Before we get into the Word this morning, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you to the church for the new car that the church purchased for me. And it's a beautiful, beautiful car. I believe the Lord had it reserved. Amen. I believe He just works like that. And I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I really do. Thank you for being here. Matthew chapter number 11. These verses are so very familiar. But as you look into the Bible from time to time, at least for me, the Lord seems to bring things in a little bit different light. I do thank the Lord. Sister Dana's here this morning, and she finally got to a place in her life where that she can't outrun Brother Lane. Amen. And he caught her. Amen. And then Brother Joe, I heard about the accident, brother, that you were in, and we're thankful that you're all right. I saw on the news early this morning where a young man lost his life on Fort Henry Drive. And we just never know. But that actually would go good with this service. You never know when it'll be your last service. And so we need to take full advantage of what the Lord is doing. I need to say this too. The class this morning was started for the 18 to 30 year olds. Brother Jeff, I believe there was 13. Does that sound right, brother? 13 in the class. And Brother Jeff brought a lesson this morning on finding and discovering the will of God for your life. And it was a tremendous lesson. It really was. And I asked Charity a while ago, I said, "Honey, how did you like the class?" She said, "Daddy, I hated it. I'm not going back." That's not what she said. She said, "Daddy, I loved it. It was good." Amen. And I did that for Brother Jeff to aggravate him a little bit. Amen. Listen to these words, and I've got a lot of ground to cover this morning, but I believe I have time. I really do. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 20, down through verse number 30. "Then began he to upbraid," the he there is Jesus, "the cities wherein most of the mighty works were done, because they repented not." And just for a little matter of definition, that word upbraid right there means to defame, to rail at, to chide or taunt. Jesus is trying to tell them something, get their attention in these cities where he had been doing many marvelous works. And he wants their attention because they have not repented. Now watch in verse 21. He says, "Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." And at that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, Father, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know about you, but in my years of being saved by the grace of God, verse 28 through 30, I've heard often, but I've never heard them in their context with all that I just read in your hearing. I've never paid attention to that entire context. And God this week has called my attention to the context, and I want to preach a message this morning just simply entitled, Come Unto Me. Jesus said, Come Unto Me. And I want to give you some things that I believe will be a help, will be a blessing, and that is my prayer. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the Word of God. I thank you, God, that, Lord, you know what we need even before we ask. Lord, I don't know who you have on your heart this morning, but I know you have someone on your heart, someone, Lord, that you want to draw to yourself this morning. Perhaps, Lord, it's one of your children that you want to draw to yourself this morning. Perhaps, Lord, it's one that's never been saved by the grace of God. But God, I know today, Lord, that you didn't burden my heart with this message for no reason. God, there's some reason you want to help somebody. God, you've helped me this week, Lord, and our devotions, Lord, together. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to be a help to these dear folks that are gathered here today. Lord, help us, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to call your attention up here to these verses, and I've got a little simple message that I'm going to preach this morning. It has two major points, and then under each of the two major points, about three sub-ideas or sub-points, and I want to give them to you today. Hope that it makes sense, and hope that God will speak to our hearts. Listen today. Jesus said, Come unto me. Think about that for a minute. The likes of him inviting the likes of us to come unto him. Holiness, the holy God, the thrice holy God that he is, inviting us into his throne room, inviting us to be saved when we're not saved, inviting us, amen, to get right with God whenever that we have, as a believer, have failed him or sinned. The Bible's teaching us a couple of things here, and I'll give them to you today. The first point in the message is this, come while you have understanding. Jesus said, come unto me. We need to come while we have understanding. You all don't know, sometimes I think, maybe you do, but many of you probably don't know what's going on in the Wilcox halls of this world, in the nursing homes of this world. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that are still breathing that don't have understanding anymore. And I'm telling you, Jesus said to my heart this week, come while you have understanding. Come while you can understand the need. Amen. Under that, I want to give you three things. Jesus said, learn of me. I believe there's three things here that we need to understand. Number one, we need to understand his warning. We need to understand that God is warning us, amen, of the judgment to come. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You say, preacher, where did you get that? He's here warning these cities. He's talking about this city of Chorazin and this city of Bethsaida and the city of Capernaum. And he's saying, listen, if I had done in Tyre and Sidon what I've done here among you, they would have repented. He said, if I would have done the works that I've done here in your presence, had I done that in Sodom, they would have remained until this day. They would not have been burnt up with fire. Can I just say what's in my heart? God's been good to this country. Amen. And I believe if he could say that, my friend, of Chorazin, and he could say that of Bethsaida, and he could say that of Sodom, I believe God could say that of America. My friend, listen, if I had done those works, my friend, you would have repented. Amen. God's been good to this country. And I'll tell you, this country needs to repent. There's a warning, amen. Jesus said, come unto me. I think about this just a moment with King Agrippa. Agrippa said to Paul, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. You see, Agrippa did not heed the warning. Almost persuaded, almost saved, is altogether lost without God. Amen. And Agrippa would not hear and would not heed the warning. Think about Felix. The Bible said in Acts 24, 25, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and he answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Here's a man that said, not now. Some more convenient time. I believe that's the devil's favorite lie. It's to tell people, amen, wait a little while. Don't have to worry about that now, amen. But I believe with all of my heart, Jesus says, come unto me. He's saying in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. The word of God said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The word of God said, and Felix was almost, my friend, Agrippa was almost persuaded. Felix said, some more convenient time. The Pharisees were warned. We need to understand this warning. I tell you, the Holy Spirit, thank God Almighty, still in the world today. And thank God He's still warning people of the judgment to come. The Bible said of the Pharisees, John chapter 5 and verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And Jesus said, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. You see right there, when you come to Jesus, you can have life. But if you will not come to Jesus, you'll die in your sin. And my friend, you'll never experience the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Preacher, I don't want to come to Him. Well, there's an alternative. Die without God. I tell you, everybody that's in heaven today has one thing in common. They all came to Jesus. They all were forgiven of their sin. King Agrippa, Felix, the Pharisees. Daniel said in Daniel 5:23, he said to Nebuchadnezzar, the God in whose hand thy breath is and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? I'll tell you today, there's a warning going out. Amen. I'll say this today. There might be some liberal preachers that's quit warning, but thank God, God's still got some men that's warning. Amen. And hearing the word of God, Jesus is warning. Before he said, come unto me, he sounded a warning in these cities. He said, hey, if others had experienced what you've experienced, they would have repented. They would have turned. Amen. They would have been saved. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, and we'll move on in this. Come while you have understanding. Understand his warning. The Bible said, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'll tell you something right now. When, my friend, it's over, it's not over. But I'll tell you what, the opportunity to come to Jesus will be over one day. And Jesus said, come unto me. Come while you have understanding. Secondly, not only do we need to understand His warning, I'm giving it to you like God gave it to me. We need to understand His wooing. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen now, listen for the words, come to me. The Bible said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I'm going to tell you something right now, there's not too many churches still believe that. There's a lot of people who believe you can repeat this or repeat that or sign this or sign that or do this or do that. But I tell you, the blessed Holy Ghost must draw a man to Christ, or that man will never come to Christ. They say, preacher, well, he's never drawn me. Now, wait a minute. What about this? The Bible said this was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What about this? The Bible said, my friend, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What about this? Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? I'll tell you, there's not a man, not a woman, not a boy, not a girl going to stand in the face of a holy God and point their finger and say, it's your fault that I'm lost. I tell you, my friend, listen, there's a wooing that takes place. But I tell you, some just reject that wooing and they reject the working of the Spirit of God in their heart. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm trying to move on in the message. But I lived for 30 days. 30 days. God had shown me beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was lost. And I lived for 30 days, Brother Sam, with no wooing and no working. 30 days still going through the religious motions, still going to church, still doing everything. And I lived for 30 days. And as far as I knew, I had known his wooing in my life. I had rejected him over and over and over again. I'd walked out those doors and said no to the blessed Holy Ghost. And for 30 days, I thought, big boy, you've done it now. You're going to hell and nothing can be done about it. I tell you, that night, blessed be God, when he come by one more time, how blessed it was to know I had another chance to be saved by the grace of God. And even that night, devil was trying to talk me out of it. But Jesus said, come to me. I understood his warning. Hallelujah, Brother Sam, I understood his wooing. I'll tell you, he reached right down there in my heart and fingered around in my old dead heart and brought life so that I could respond to him. Glory to God. Come unto me. Come unto me. I'm glad I heard him say, come unto me. I'm glad I had sense enough. My friend, listen, just an old country boy, but had sense enough to know that the King of Kings was inviting a peasant to be saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I understood his warning. I understood his wooing. Think about this. John 6:65. Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except that we're given him of my Father. You know, I tell you, there are people who stand up and swell up and say, bless God, I'll get saved when I'm good and ready. I tell you, that's dangerous ground. I tell you, when you'll get saved, when the blessed Holy Ghost comes by and breathes in your soul, you'll have to respond to that wooing that he's doing in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Understand his warning. Understand his wooing. In that last day, John 7:37, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, I love these words. I didn't know this in the Bible so many times. He said, let him come unto me and drink. Hallelujah, I got a drink. I got a drink. I got a drink of living water when I came to Jesus that night. Oh, my friend, there's a warning going out. There's a wooing going out. Let me say something to the church at Bible Way. Can I do that? How many believes we ought to try our best to live holy? Now, wait a minute. You say, now, preacher, I don't understand. Let me help you understand. Did you all know that if preacher and the deacons and the teacher and the membership of Bible Way Baptist Church won't live holy, do you understand that that could have an impact on the wooing that takes place around here? Oh, I tell you, we need to come in here prayed up, fessed up, cleaned up. Hallelujah, amen. And live in an atmosphere where God the Holy Ghost would cause people to either want to run to or run from him. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm just one person. That's what Achan said. Preacher, that ain't none of nobody else's business. That's what Achan said. How many knows there was a high price to pay? Amen. A wooing. Understand this wooing. Jeremiah, listen to this verse of Scripture. How many remembers Brother Rightly Sally?
far as I'm concerned, a prince among preachers. Amen. Brother Rightly Selling would quote this verse often. He said, "The Lord hath appeared to me of old, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Glory to God. One of the things that caused me, Brother Mike, to come to Jesus was knowing that in my condition, somebody like him would love somebody like me and draw me to himself. Amen. Thank God for the Spirit's wooing in our lives. Oh, friend of mine, come unto me. Come while you have understanding, while you understand his warning, while you understand his wooing. Listen to Titus 3. "But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, all which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." How many remembers, hallelujah, when he warned you? And my friend, when he wooed you, amen, and he drew you to himself. Thank God the love and the kindness of our Savior appeared. It was not by works of righteousness which we had done, but it was according to his mercy. Brother May said years ago, when he stooped down, Jesus stooped down and wrote in the sand. Everybody's got an idea what Jesus wrote. Nobody knows for sure. The Bible didn't say. But Brother Mays had an idea. It was pretty good. It really fit the situation. That woman was taken in adultery. And Brother Mays said he believed Jesus wrote down, "Justice called, but mercy answered." I tell you, the night I got saved, justice was calling. I deserved to die without God and go to hell. But hallelujah, mercy answered. Amen. Mercy answered. Understand his warning. Understand his wooing. Let me give you this. Thirdly, under this first point, come while you have understanding. We need to understand his welcoming. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" How many knows that when you get saved, you don't really know what to expect? Ain't that right? It's different on this side, ain't it? Because now we know, amen. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Listen to what the Bible said. "Incline your ear. Come unto me." Remember that? Isaiah 55:3. "Hear, and your soul shall live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Isaiah 55:6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Hey, I didn't know what to expect that night when I turned loose of that pew and I came into that altar. But I want you to know, my God's still in the welcoming business. He's welcoming sinners with open arms that will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be saved. Now let me give you something. I didn't realize this. I did not realize this was in the Bible this many times. In Matthew, Mark, and in Luke, all three of those Gospels have the same verse in it. Jesus said, "Suffer ye." How many members? "The little children." How many members that? "To come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." Now wait a minute. You say, "Now preacher, how does that fit with this welcoming part?" Here's how it fits. Jesus said, "Except you become converted, except you be converted and become as a little child, you'll in no wise enter in." You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say, hey, you might not know what to expect, but I tell you what you do. In childlike faith, you turn loose of yourself. You turn loose of your sin. You turn loose of your past. You turn loose of Satan. You turn loose of the guilt. You turn loose of the shame. And you head out for Jesus. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Charity is back there in that young adult Sunday school class this morning. Charity wouldn't do it right now. I guarantee you Charity wouldn't do it right now. But there was a time when I could have stood Charity right here, just balanced her real good, got right down here and said, "Jump, baby. Jump, honey. She wouldn't even have thought about it. You say, what is that, preacher? That's somebody that ain't thinking about how far it is. That's somebody that ain't thinking about, well, Daddy might have a bad back. Daddy might not be able to catch me. Or Daddy might be playing a trick on me. That's somebody that ain't thinking none of those things, Brother Josh. That'd be like Camden, amen. Set him up there and say, jump, honey. He just grinned from ear to ear, and here he comes. He think he's Superman, amen. You say, what is that childlike faith? You see, Jesus didn't say, figure it all out and then come. Glory to God, I've been saved 27 years and I still ain't got it figured out. Amen. You say, preacher, where's the joy in all of this? I tell you where it is. It's just knowing that on the authority of the Word of God, Jesus said, glory to God, just give me another verse. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Nobody has he ever turned away that came to him. Nobody. Let me just stop and say a couple things. If a drunkard comes to him, the way the Bible says a sinner needs to come, God will save him. Hey? If a liar comes to him, God will save him. How many believes that? What about a good moral man? How many believes Kingsport got some of them too? Amen? All they've done all their life is look down their nose at some church members that's messed up. Amen. Some preacher that's messed up. And they use that as an excuse not to come to Jesus. That man come to Jesus the way God said come, God will save him. A homosexual come to Jesus the way God said come, God will save him. An adulterer come to Jesus the way God said come, Jesus said come. And he used this word, all. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. We need to come while we have understanding. Secondly, in the message, we need to come while we have opportunity. Let me show this to you this morning and I'll be done. We need to come. We need to understand His warning, understand His wooing, understand His welcoming. But we need to come while we have opportunity. Jesus said, today, in the book of Hebrews, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. Today, the Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day may bring forth. Let me stop and make a statement this morning. This second part of the message has come. While you have opportunity, let me just say this. Hell hath enlarged herself. How many believes the Bible teaches that? God didn't create hell for mankind. He created it for the devil and his angels. Can I tell you what hell's full of? Listen to me carefully. It's full of good intentions. It's plumb full of people that aimed one day. Now, there are exceptions to that. I know there are. There are exceptions to about everything except the way to heaven. But it's full of people that had good intentions. Someday, one day, the devil will tell young people, why, you got a life to live first. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not even living till you begin to live for Jesus. The Bible said if you save your life, you'll lose it. And if you'll lose your life for His name's sake, you'll find it. I'm going to tell you something right now. I did a lot of loose living before I got saved, and I thought I was living, but all I was doing was dying. How many knows what I just said? You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Come while you have understanding. Come while you have opportunity. Let me give you some things here that God spoke to my heart about. Number one, you have an opportunity to come for relief from your burden. Look at verse number 28 there for just a moment. The Bible said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can come, get relief from your burden. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Listen, this not only goes for sinners, but it goes for God's people. How many understands that sometimes it gets too heavy to carry? And God said, hey, come. Jesus said, come. Come unto me. You can find relief for your burden. It's times like this that I wish I could sing. I mean, if I could sing like Brother Fred and Brother Ralph, and I had them a big old rooster feather under their nose, then we'd all be tickled. Amen? But I can't sing. But I wish I could. If I could, I'd break into this song. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Brother Ralph, find that song if it's in that book and sing it there in a minute, would you? We have an opportunity to get that burden lifted. Come while you have opportunity. There's the burdens of sin, the burden of suffering, the burdens of the cares of this life. I still can never forget that Sunday school lesson when Brother Brian brought it about being overcharged in the cares of this life. Sometimes it gets so heavy. You say, what's it do? I tell you what it does. It has a design about it. It chokes out the word in our life. It makes us where we can't be a help to somebody else because we got such a load we're carrying ourselves. Jesus said, come unto me. You have an opportunity. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. You can find relief from your burden. Secondly, you can find rest in His bosom. Look at verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Listen to me a minute. Hebrews 4, verse 3 said this. For we which have believed do enter into rest. How many's believed this morning? Glory to God, I didn't get any rest, amen, until I believed. For we which have believed have entered into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if you shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. When we get saved, we're entering into something that's already been accomplished from the foundation of the world. The rest in His bosom. Relief from your burden. But then let me give you this in closing. There's a reward in His burden. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. Watch this now. Come while you have opportunity. There's a relief from my burden. There's rest in His bosom. But there's a reward in His burden. You say, now, preacher, I don't understand that. Now, watch this. How many knows what a yoke is? He said, take my yoke upon you. Now, when I get yoked up with Him, we're going in the same direction. And we're going at the same speed. We're plowing in the same field. We have the same purpose. How many believes that's a pretty good definition of rest right there? Amen. My yoke, there's a reward. When we enter into that yoke with Him, you say, preacher, where do our problems come from? I tell you where our problems come from. It's when our Lord is trying to G and we're trying to haul. Say amen right there. Some of these young people are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. But some of you old timers know what I just said. Amen. We need to get in that yoke with Jesus. There's a reward. You know what Exodus said? Listen, Exodus 32:26. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who was on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side this morning? And then he said this, let him come unto me. If you're on the Lord's side this morning, then you ought to be wanting to come to Jesus. And get in the yoke with Jesus. The lesson this morning on the will of God. Do what Jesus wants you to do. When Jesus wants you to do it. As long as Jesus wants you to do it. How Jesus wants you to do it. You say, preacher, that's ridiculous. No, that's supposed to be the normal Christian life. be filled with the Spirit of God. Listen to what the Bible said in Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Can I give you just a little synopsis of what's going to be rewarded in heaven? The only thing that's going to be rewarded is not what Brother Vinoy decided to do. That's not going to be rewarded. The only thing that's going to be rewarded is what God led Brother Vinoy to do, and Brother Vinoy did it. How many understands that? The importance of being in the yoke with Him. Amen. The importance of doing what He wants us to do. That's going to be the only... The Bible said our works are going to be tried so as by fire. You say, well, preacher, I see two guys. They're plowing in the same field. They're both plowing the same depth. They're both plowing the same amount of land in a day. And surely, both of them will receive the same reward. Not necessarily. You see, some are in that field with a motive that honors God. Some are in that field thinking more along the lines, well, I got to do this. And maybe their motive is not I got to do this, but I can do this just as good as he can. And something called PRIDE crops up. Amen. And it's being done for self instead of being done for the Savior. I'll tell you this morning, we have an understanding. Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me while you have understanding. Jesus said, come unto me while you have opportunity. There's going to be a reward for that He's burdened our hearts to do. There's going to be a reward. Brother Wayne, you could go to jail for 1,000 different reasons. You really could. I believe I know why you go to jail, but he knows why you go to jail for sure. Amen? I love to hear, you might say, well, preacher, that's crazy. I love to hear Brother Wayne just say, remember the boys down to jail. Remember the boys down to jail. You see, down there to jail, that's somebody's son, somebody's daddy, somebody's brother. But more than all that, that's somebody Jesus died for on an old rugged cross. But I'm just telling you, it's possible to go to jail for the wrong reason. It's possible, Brother Dan, to have something for the seniors for the wrong reason. And it's possible to have it for the right reason, to honor the Lord. I'm telling you, when it all comes down to it, what's going to be rewarded is what He was leading us to do when we got in the yoke with Him. Amen? Goes right back to the Sunday school, Brother Jeff, the will of our Father. Jesus didn't come down here to do His own will. He came down here to do the will of His Father. And I'm just going to say this. Jesus didn't save you and I to do our own will. He saved us to do the will of our Father. We have an opportunity, and we have an understanding, and we ought to come. If you're here today without Jesus, you know, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You could be like Agrippa, almost persuadest thou me. You could be like Felix some more convenient time. Or you could just come in childlike faith and trust Jesus to be your Savior. If you're here today and you're a saint of God and you're carrying a heavy burden, Jesus is saying, come to me. You don't have to carry that alone. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Cast your burden upon the Lord. I'll tell you something. He wants to help. Let's pray. Father, Thank you this morning for the privilege to stand here today among these precious people and preach the bread of life, the word of God. Lord, I'm so glad that, Lord, you said, come unto me. Lord, I believe there are people here today that need to be saved. You said, come unto me. People here today, Lord, who are carrying a heavy burden. Yet, Lord, you said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. God, I think about the times in my Christian experience that I have not been meek. I've not been lowly. Lord, to be like Jesus would to be meek and lowly in heart. Lord, there we could find rest for our soul. Father, I pray today, Lord, take the message and use it for thy glory.